Back in September, we broadcast an interview with the award-winning blogger Do Thu Trang. She offers a witty and original take on many aspects of relations between Czechs and the country's Vietnamese community, seen from the point of view of a second-generation Vietnamese Czech. In this week's Czech Books, we meet Trang again and take a closer look at her writing with David Vaughan.
The number of people of Vietnamese origin in the Czech Republic is estimated to be around 60,000, making the Vietnamese one of the country's biggest minorities. In the quarter of a century since the fall of communism, Vietnamese-run shops, stalls and restaurants have become a major part of the Czech townscape. During that time, a second generation has grown up. Young people whose family background is Vietnamese, but whose home is the Czech Republic. Do Thu Trang is the best-known voice of that generation. I asked her how her blog began.
I started about 8 years ago when I was at grammar school, and I really love writing in Czech. I love reading in Czech, and that was one of the first reasons why I've started. And also 2008, when I published my very first post blog.
How old were you at the time?
I was 18 and close to my graduation, and it was the time when a lot of young people of Vietnamese origin started writing blogs about Vietnamese community in the Czech Republic, and I was one of them.
Why do you think it was that so many people suddenly started writing about their experiences?
I remember some of my friends who were not that much interested in our community and our culture started asking me questions that I was not able to answer because it was maybe too political for me or too complex to explain. And this was one of the reasons why I wanted to bring some positive light into the dialogue between our two societies. And this was also the aim of other Vietnamese bloggers of that time.
And so what was your first blog about?
I attended like 7 weddings within 6 months. So I wanted to start with something positive, and the Vietnamese wedding is a positive thing. So this was my very first post.
And I guess that Vietnamese weddings are probably very different from Czech weddings.
We usually have huge weddings, and the biggest one had about 800 guests, and it's all about the food. We love eating food, and everything we would celebrate goes through, I would say, stomach. So, yeah.
And so let's hear you read one of your blogs. You've got one which I think is connected with food as well, but not quite so appetizing.
Sprostá nudle. No, takhle říkáme té restauraci. Řekla nám slečna Ian se stoickým klidem.
The rude noodle. It's the name we give that restaurant, Miss Yen told us with stoic calm. With the same calm, she explained that people try to avoid going to that restaurant. It's not that they don't know how to cook, nor is it the fact that they grill the meat right by the toilets. It's just the owner. She's unpleasant and rude to her customers, be they Czech or Vietnamese. You don't need an intimate knowledge of the Sapa market to know which restaurant we're talking about. It's that little bistro specializing in bún cha in the food section. The one over by the toilets? We went there for a quick bite the other day. Our Czech colleague wanted to try it. He's a fan of Vietnamese food and all things Vietnamese. Even a Romanian health officer would shut this place down, he noted. As soon as we got close, I had an idea of what was in store. You see, the manageress is the embodiment of all the worst features of hospitality and service. Not a scrap of Asian good manners. A permanent sneer, she never says hello. If you get her on a good day, she might just say thank you. She all but hurls the food at customers and tells you where to sit with the finesse of an SS officer. During our feast, a Czech customer turned up. Eat alone? She asked, and sent him off to sit with another solitary Czech diner. The two men smiled at each other, bemused and submissive, looking round the half-empty restaurant. Apart from us and a little cluster of Chinese diners, they were the only people in the place. You've guessed it. Not many Vietnamese go there. Now, in some seedy old beer house, you might not expect anything different. But this kind of Vietnamese anti-service would come as a shock even to a Vietnamese Jamie Oliver. I must admit, though, the food was excellent, and one of these days I might go there again. Unless, that is, they get closed down by the Romanian health officer.
Tak či tak, jídlo bylo výborné a možná tam zajdeme za nějaký ten pátek zas. Teda, pokud bistro nezavře i ten rumunský hygienik.
And the place that you're talking about there, the Sapa Market, could you tell us a little bit about that? Because it's a very special place, isn't it, in Prague?
It's been said it's a center of Vietnamese diaspora in the Czech Republic. It's been said it's a cultural and also a trade center for us. Recently, I would say it's more food-oriented, like a food center of Vietnamese diaspora, and also a lot of people from abroad who visit Prague are being kind of interested in visiting Sapa. Every city has Chinatown, but Prague has this little Hanoi.
It's on the edge of town, just on the southern edge of Prague, really by a housing estate, isn't it? It's not in the center, as you might expect, Chinatown, for example.
Yeah, that's right. It's a city within a city.
And how do you feel when you go there? Do you feel it's a kind of homecoming, or do you feel a little bit like a Czech going there as well, having spent all your life pretty much in the Czech Republic?
It's hard to say. Prague is definitely my hometown, but coming to Sapa means it's a totally different world, and there are so many feelings and so many different tastes that I can't tell whether this is homecoming or it's totally different from what I am used to.
It's interesting as well that you talk about tastes and flavors and things. That is something that's obviously very central, as you already said, to Vietnamese culture, isn't it? And also in the way that you talk and that you write, food appears again and again, doesn't it?
Yeah, I love to say that people should become friends through stomach, because love goes through stomach. And this is how it works between our societies and nationalities as well. Because thanks to many Vietnamese fast foods, a lot of Czech people started to be interested in our cultures as well.
And you grew up in Western Bohemia. You went to a Czech grammar school, a secondary school. And you say you always loved studying the Czech language at school. So you must have been steeped in Czech culture, in Czech literature, in the history of Czech writing, and you say that you always enjoyed writing Czech. So how do you feel in that Czech literary context?
I can definitely say that I've been inspired by many famous Czech writers such as Vítězslav Nezval, Jaroslav Seifert, and also Václav Havel, definitely, because I love how you can tell so much through short messages and short words. And I'm definitely flattered that my readers are also interested not just about the content, but they are also interested in the form, that they like the way how easy the posts are to read.
And you also write poetry. Could you maybe read and tell us about one of your poems?
I want it to be easy to read, easy to remember, and I like when the poetry makes people laugh.
Melon a Míša jdou na dračku, chlazený gambáč jak by smet, všecko za kačku, plnit kasu ve večerce, není z hola žádnej med.
Tell us a little bit about that poem.
The poem is called Melon and Míša, which is a typical ice cream, Czech ice cream. And it relates to večerkas,
which are corner shops.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And very often in the Czech Republic, they're run by Vietnamese people.
Yeah, they are run by Vietnamese people. And this short poem says that it's not easy to run a corner shop like this. And it also shows the stereotype, because gambach is an informal word for gambrinus beer, a very typical beer that is popular among Czech people.
Melon and Míša. Melon and Míša, they'll soon be gone, chilled gambach like hot cake. It's going for a song, 7-Eleven and never a break. Spare a thought for the living we scrape.
And what I notice in that poem and in a lot of your writing is how you love playing with words and with the sort of the ambiguities of words or double meanings or unexpected associations.
The whole aim of this blog is that people should not take themselves that seriously and they should still keep their inner child. And this is the way how I stay playful, and the double meanings are kind of like a hidden treasure that you can find and discover and play with it. So this is kind of a game for me, a fun.
When you were a child, did your parents sing Vietnamese children's songs to you and read you children's poems? Is there a similar tradition as in Europe?
They didn't, but I wish they did, because there are so many poems and lullabies that I would love to know and sing to my children in future. But I grew up listening to Czech songs and reading Czech poetry. So this is one of the reasons why I am more influenced by this kind of short messages, because Vietnamese poetry is really long. They tend to be calling for a future, calling for love. They're very, very emotional. And I prefer short, fun wording games.
You're well-known and highly successful as a Vietnamese blogger in the Czech Republic. Do you ever have the feeling that you want to step out of that role and just be a blogger?
It's going to be a label that I will wear for the rest of my life because I look the way I look. I don't actually mind, because this label is a shortcut to connecting Vietnamese and Czech society, because people know that there is a Vietnamese girl writing a blog in Czech. So I don't have to explain and I don't have to prove myself all the time. Even though I'm writing about the stereotypes, this is something I'm fighting against, because I'm making fun of a stereotype.
So to finish, could you read maybe one more text from your blog?
Peníze na dva způsoby, a ne co mě žere. Jedna.
Two views of money, or what drives me up the wall. One, that some of our homegrown customers like to turn up carrying less money than the value of what they're buying, assuming that they'll pay with a handful of loose change, and we'll trust them and won't bother to check. And then they're surprised that it doesn't quite add up, because they counted it wrong. Yes, of course, especially when they always buy exactly the same thing. So yes, Charlie, don't forget that 5 crowns again next time. Two, we've got a visitor at home, so this is real time, an instant reaction guaranteed. After the usual polite exchanges, a Vietnamese acquaintance of my parents, whom I've never met before, asks me how much I earn. And he follows it up by asking whether I make enough to support my parents. All I can do is react with a Vietnamese smile and by telling him it's none of his business. Two views of money.
Peníze na dva způsoby.
To end with, I've spoken to a lot of Vietnamese people in the Czech Republic over the years, and many have adopted a European name just to make it easier. Have you always resisted that?
No, I also have my Czech name, Lenka, but I'm not using it anymore. I'm fine with Chang, my real name.
I think you said that your dad is the last person who still uses Lenka, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he does it because it's fun for him. It's kind of a rebellion.
And so what should I call you?
Chang. Do Thu Chang.
Do Thu Chang. Mm. Well, Do Thu Chang, thank you very much indeed for talking to Radio Prague.
Thank you very much.